Well, let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. Even in our trials, you have turned them to growth and sanctification. You've turned them to dependency and trust. And when you haven't, Lord, that's your goal. And we don't want to resist you anymore, Lord. We want to yield. We want to submit. Lord, we're so hard-headed, stubborn in our ways. Our flesh is rearing up against the Spirit, and we need you again afresh today. Amen. And we're looking forward to visiting with you in this time as we talk about something so dear to your heart, which is life, the sanctity of life, and how dare us think we can take our life from you. And yet, the reality is many are struggling with these thoughts. They're consumed, Lord. The pressure and pain seems overwhelming, and they don't know where to turn. Like Peter, though, we turn and say, where else would we go? Where else could we go? Where else is there true hope? But Jesus Christ, he died that we could live, not that we could fret of life itself. Lord, we're so mixed up. Help us, Lord. Help us to help those who seem so hopeless that we're afraid to even talk to them for fear that we might not have the hope or faith sometimes to take them out of those places. And knowing that you do, but wondering if we're just going to make it worse because we don't have an apt word for them, or maybe the confidence in our own faith at times, or we're so afraid that we're going to be held liable for something. And oh, Lord, help us to have courage. Amen. In the face of these kind of problems. Help us to love when it's hard, to need people less and love them more. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. I'm humbled, one, to be in front of you, because many of you could be teaching me right now. No question in my mind. And if I sat down with any one of you, you'd have something that I could walk away with for sure from your life and experience. But I'm also humbled by this topic of counseling people that are this desperate. And let's just be honest with ourselves. This is one of those times when you almost wonder if they need a professional. But you know they don't. You know that's not really... You know, I love Piper's book, you know, Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. And he's talking about this idea of coming alongside in Galatians 6 and other scripture where it's like, wait a minute, let's not forget who we are, whose we are, and what we have. We have the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God. We have prayer. We have community. And with all those things, you know, no matter how desperate somebody is, we can wrap our arms around them and say, listen, God is beckoning you to himself, and we are calling you to this community to be healed. Now, not every church is like that. Not every heart here is ready for that. But maybe that means you need to find some others and get stirred up and encouraged yourself to be able to face these kind of problems, because, folks, the church had abdicated responsibility for these types of people and said, send them to a professional. And that grieves God's heart. That's how and why 12 Stones got started. Because literally, it's too hard for me to do for fun. I'm not making any money, but I love it. And here's why. Because I've got a sense that God is grieved, and he's putting people like you and me to stand in his stead as ambassadors with a ministry of reconciliation saying, go for me. And what can I do? I have to go. It's a calling. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And someday I'm going to be up there partying with you guys because we're going to go, we persevered, and it was hard. And there were days I wanted to give up myself. And even Paul despaired of life, but he hung on because he knew where his hope was. So let's suffer well, guys, okay? I want to read something to you that I find hope in that I think would anchor the suicidal person to God in the Scriptures. And again, I'm thinking, just to give a big picture, I'm thinking that this is about the suicidal person that at least has professed faith. You don't maybe know where they stand with God. You don't know their hearts, but they're coming to you because you're a Christian, because you're biblical. So you can kind of assume they're at least searching, if not already holding on, but desperate at the same time. And I think you can be suicidal and a Christian. I know that's weird. It doesn't make any sense, but sometimes we forget who we are and whose we are. And we need to be reminded. What is that in Hebrews 3, 12 through 14? Reminded how often? Encouraged how often? Daily. I've got a short memory, folks. Okay, treasures in jars of clay. You guys know that, right? 2 Corinthians 4. Great place to spend some time getting ready to go counsel somebody to remind yourself who you are. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Guess what? You are not the savior of the suicidal. If you think you are, you're going to get into a bind like you've never been in before, and you're going to want to run because you're going to be, or you're going to get yourself into you're going to promise something you can't deliver. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Extremely important that you see the difference between these two conditions. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Now, think of those words. And every extreme word is where the suicidal mind is at. And every word that is true that goes before it is where we need to take them. Amen. Not, you're going to be okay. God has a wonderful plan for you. You know what? That's like salt in a wound for them. They're not there. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Now that's pretty radical. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So I'm not my own anymore. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Man, some of you guys could preach on that in a way that I need that sometimes, right? I need to remember that. But I want you just to think about, in the context of what else I'm going to talk about today, about this scripture, this truth. But here's what the suicidal person either never knew that, okay, which there's Bible teaching churches that never really get their arms around that reality, or they've forgotten it because the thorns, right, the brambles, the pressures of life have entangled them, it's choking them out. They've forgotten. They've got their eyes on temporal concerns. Or their persecution and pressure that is in their life is a case of missing or mistaken identity. They've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten who they are. And so they're mistaking their identity, and they're buying into lies from the pit of hell. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about Satan today, but I can tell you right now, he is a destroyer. And if he knows that someone is already questioning whether life is worth living, they're living in shame, they wonder if they ever should have been born, they're in such intense pain in their own mind. Now, you may go, where's the pain coming from? I mean, your life doesn't sound that bad. How come you're... But people tolerate pain differently, right? They experience things differently. So they're so overwhelmed that escaping pain is all they can think about. And some of them will say to you, have probably said to you, say to me, I just want to be with Jesus. I'm like, me too. You know, I'm groaning with all creation. I am groaning for the day of his return. I am suffering, okay? And they're like, you don't look like you're suffering that much. And I'm like, no, I'm suffering for you. I'm suffering for others. I'm suffering for all the crazy, seemingly irreconcilable pains and